Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by AmIPsychicApp.com, where the net proceeds go to support the Rind Research Center. We are blessed to have two wonderful guests tonight, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and best-selling author Laura Lynn Jackson, along with investigative journalist and best-selling author Leslie Kane. We'll be taking callers tonight, so if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. Laura will not be conducting medium readings during the show. This is an interview show. But I want to start the evening off with our updates on Forever Family Foundation events and happenings. We want to always remind our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly for all information on our events and announcements at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and all reservations can be made online. We know that there was a waiting list of those who closed out of our annual grief retreat this past July in Chester, Connecticut, and while our upcoming winter grief retreat in warm and beautiful Florida is not until this coming January 5th through 7th, 2018, that too is now more than half filled. We do, however, caution those interested in attending to keep in mind our no-refund policy before booking. Each year, 50 guests come from across the globe to spend an all-inclusive weekend with like-minded people in a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. The weekend features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joseph Scheel, Janet Nohavik, and Doreen Malloy, who will be working alongside Dr. Mo Hanna and the rest of our professional staff. People are traveling from all over to attend the Afterlife Luncheon set for Sunday, October 29th. The Afterlife Luncheon is a five-hour event that includes a scrumptious lunch. Join us as New York Times bestselling author Leslie Kane, author of Surviving Death, The Journalist Investigates Evidence for an Afterlife, who will be joined by extraordinary medium Laura Lynn Jackson, author of New York Times bestseller The Light Between Us, Stories from Heaven, Lessons for the Living. It's a compelling afternoon of learning and spirit communication. Reservations for this event are just about filled, so you might want to reserve your seat soon if you are thinking of attending. Our holidays past raffle drawing is set for December 23rd, so please help us out and buy some raffles, lots of raffles, to win as many as five readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Eliza Ray, Catherine Nadal, and Neil Zapowski. It's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donate button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. Lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Bob.
And we have, as you mentioned, two of my favorite people on the show tonight, Leslie Kane and Laura Lynn Jackson. Now, both are going to be, as Fran mentioned, at the upcoming Afterlife Luncheon in New York. And for those who are not in the New York area, here's your opportunity to speak with them tonight. Leslie Kane is an independent investigative journalist, author of the New York Times bestsellers, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. Her new book is Surviving Death, A Journalist Investigates Evidence for an Afterlife. Leslie has been on a lot of media, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, Colbert, NPR, a lot of media, USA Today, U.S. News and World Report. She's been writing articles for the Huffington Post since 2012, and she contributes articles to dozens of publications. And her website is Surviving Death Kane, that's K-E-A-N, .com. Welcome, Leslie.
Just joined you guys. I'm on the line.
Okay.
Hello.
And
can
Laurel
you hear me okay?
Yeah. Laurelyn Jackson is a gifted medium. She's been certified with Forever Family Foundation since 2005. She sits on the foundation's medium advisory board. She's also a research medium with the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential. She's the author of The Light Between Us, also a New York Times bestselling author. She's been on numerous major TV shows over the past year, kind of a whirlwind. Her evidential and compassionate style has earned her a wonderful, now worldwide, reputation. And her website is laurelynjackson.com. So welcome, Leslie and Laura.
Hey, Laura, how great is it to hear your voice again?
Oh, how wonderful. I am so thrilled to be here. So lovely to connect.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see you on the 29th.
Me too. That is going to be such a light-filled day.
It will be, and I thought that this would give people an opportunity that won't be able to get to the event, or even for those that that will be there to have a little preview. So I thought, obviously, you both have different perspectives on things, and maybe we can go back and forth and talk to you both about some topics. And if we start with you, Leslie, if it's possible, if you think back before you started your investigation of survival and the afterlife, do you think at the time, did you think it was more likely that you would find evidence that refuted survival or evidence that supported it?
Well, I mean, I was interested in finding evidence that would support it because there'd be no reason, otherwise to write a book on it. So, I mean, I knew enough that I thought I had enough that I could write a book and, you know, there was enough good stuff there, but I never expected to get as much as I did, and I never expected the personal aspect of it to happen, which involved readings with mediums such as one with Laura and other experiences that I had with after-death communications and things like that. So that was a real surprise to me, and
yeah.
I think that really makes the book so much more interesting for people because it's not just about research, I think I do bring a lot of fascinating research into it, but it's integrated with my own personal experience, and that was the part that was more of a surprise to me.
Mm. And Laura, I mean, obviously, you know, Leslie was meeting with a lot of the scientists and researchers when she was putting together her book, and I mentioned that you also have an interest in research, and I always wanted to ask you, somebody might come up to you and say, wait a second, you're someone who talks to the dead regularly and with a high degree of accuracy. Why would you need science to tell you what you already know? I mean, how would you respond to that?
You know, that's such a wonderful question, Bob. And I always, you know, the first thing I tell everybody is I think it's so important to be a critical thinker in the world. And, you know, a critical thinker doesn't just accept things at face value, but really goes on an investigation, asks questions, and comes to a truth. And so even with my own abilities, I knew what I was receiving. I knew what I felt. I knew I was getting accurate things, and I knew that I felt, you know, and knew that I was talking to the other side. But I was fascinated by the implications it had for all of humanity. And I am fascinated to figure out the how. How does it work? Why do I particularly have this ability to focus in on it more and connect more or hear the other side and perceive the other side more? And that's where I turn to scientists, because if they could figure that out, wouldn't it be so wonderful for all of us to share in this truth and this knowledge that the other side is real, that, you know, our lives here are really just a school for our souls, and that we're all in this together learning a collective lesson of love? Because if we embrace that as our own individual truth, our lives change. We start living life differently. I've seen it happen. And so I think I really want everybody to be able to share in the truth that I know. And I really think scientists kind of hold the key to being able to explain how it's happening and how more people can access it.
I resonate with what you say, because I always thought from the beginning that if science could identify the mechanism, for lack of a better term, but you know, by which these communications take place, that would open it up, as you mentioned, to everyone. Because
absolutely.
Once you, yeah, that would be a wonderful thing. I don't know if science will ever get us there, but it's certainly something to which we should all aspire.
100%.
Yeah, Leslie, you had, as you touched upon this, but you had experiences with multiple mediums, some great, like Laura, and some where you questioned whether or not there was really any spirit communication was taking place. So from your perspective, and I'd also like to get Laura's perspective on that, is do you feel that it's a problem today when we have mediums in practice who can't do what they claim?
Well, I mean, I if they're claiming something that they're saying they can do something that they can't, you're not talking about people that are actually dishonest, right? But I mean, I think obviously all mediums have good days and bad days, and there are some readings that just don't work sometimes for a lot of different reasons. Even with great mediums, I mean, I've known that happens, but I guess there are a lot of mediums that just aren't that evolved, and it can be disappointing for people when they go see somebody where it doesn't work out. So I don't really know how to say that if they're claiming something that is false, that's a whole different situation from somebody who's just trying but maybe doesn't succeed. But, I mean, when you have a spectacular reading, like I had with Laura, and that was the first reading that I had, it absolutely changed my life. And I just wish that everyone could have that experience. I really do. And it's sometimes you have to go around to a bunch of mediums, and then you're going to find one where you really connect and one that really works for you. And it'll happen. You know, it's not going to happen every single time.
No, and we understand that, and you know, the process is a lot of moving parts, so it's not always going to work. And as you mentioned, even very, very good mediums, for some reason or another, will not, you know, connect on a certain given day. But I was going more towards there seems to be, possibly because of the media influences, quite a number of mediums that are popping up out of nowhere and just going out and hanging up a shingle and saying, well, I'm a medium, because they have a little bit of intuitive ability.
That's obviously a problem. And I think also that, you know, another problem that I think is worth debate, but I know it's going on a lot in the UK, there's these schools where people are supposed to be able to go and they can learn to be a medium. And my experience with the great mediums, and certainly true for Laura and for Sandra O'Hara, who I wrote about in my book also, they had this ability as children. It was a gift that they just naturally had, and they grew up with it. And it's hard for me to imagine that many people can just go to school and learn to be a medium and get some kind of degree. And I don't know that much about it, but my sense of it is that it's something innate in a person. So that's another problem that I know a lot of people in England, and I have friends over there that are physical mediums and involved with the whole issue, and that there's a lot of concern about people thinking they can just go to school and learn this.
Right. What are your thoughts on that, Laura?
You know, I find it, I always feel that there is such a tremendous responsibility. With every single reading I do, I always feel honored and humbled to be kind of this telephone between here and the other side. And I've always taken that, you know, very seriously. It's one of the reasons I think, too, that it's very important before you go out there and you work with people in grief and you bring through messages that you really, really work hard to make sure that you've developed your language, that you are at a certain level of skill where you feel comfortable and confident passing along those messages. You know, to some degree, Leslie is right. Everybody has days that they're stronger and days that they're off. Think about, you know, great sports people, sometimes they have an off game, and that just happens energetically. I know when I read for people, it's a three-way triangle. It's my energy plugging into the sitter's energy, plugging into the person on the other side's energy, and that can always fluctuate a little. But I think, to your point, Bob, I think that we need to be very careful with who we open our energy to. And I would encourage anybody who's considering getting a reading with a psychic medium or being interested in that to really go by referral, by word of mouth, by somebody who has had a wonderful experience with that medium. Or, of course, to look for places that certify mediums, like Forever Family Foundation, because you know the medium who work with that organization are committed, and not in it for, fame or money, so to speak, but because they want to help people, and that's really their driving goal. Do I think that people can learn mediumship? I actually think we all come here to Earth hardwired to each other and to the other side. But I think usually we shut down to that ability between age 5 and 7, just when real formal schooling starts to take place. My theory there is that we start to gravitate to using that kind of frontal lobe of our mind where all our analytical reasoning, language, math skills, day-to-day stuff takes place, and we just kind of get stuck there. When I've had EEGs done on my brain, they've found that that part of my brain shuts off when I read and other parts light up. So do I think we all have that ability and we can access it? Yes. Do I think we can learn to access it? Yes. Yes. But to that note, too, I took 10 years of piano lessons. You know what I can play? Chopsticks. That's it. I was never that good, no matter how hard I tried. And I think that there are certain individuals who are just kind of hardwired and who have not just like what's like a calling to do that? And when you have a calling, then there's something that you have kind of a raw ability for. That's one of the gifts you came here with, and you're meant to share it with the world. And if that's the case, I think that really those people need to be very committed to developing their abilities and sharing them with others. So can some people go to these schools and maybe learn how to be more open and perceive the other side? Absolutely. But does that mean that they're meant to be a medium as a career? Not necessarily. I always joke, I said, this profession found me. This was not my plan. I was very focused on academia. I was a high school English teacher. I love literature. And this pulled at me so fiercely that it became my calling and I needed to honor it. And I think for those people out there who have these abilities and who are trying to figure out where it should fit into their life, if you have that calling and you feel you need to honor it, of course do that. But if you want to develop it just for your own use and for your friends too, that's fine too. You don't have to, turn it into a profession.
Well said. We're not all meant to be mediums. Some of us just have this innate ability and we go about life using it and integrating it as we see fit. We're going to go to a quick break. We come back. We have a lot more with Leslie Kane and Laura Lynn Jackson. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Ryan Research Center.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org Grief and Loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Mm-hmm. Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Those just tuning in, we have been talking with Leslie Kane and Laura Lynn Jackson. Our sponsor this evening is mipsychicapp.com, where the net proceeds go to support the Rhine Research Center. Bob?
And I just wanted to add, in case you missed it, I mean, Leslie Kane's website, again, is survivingdeathkane, K-E-A-N.com, and Laura's, her name, lauralynnjackson.com. Leslie, you mentioned you were a bit surprised at the abundance of the evidence, and as you discover more and more evidence, near-death experiences and reincarnation and mediumship and consciousness itself, and then you have started to have a couple of these profound personal experiences, did it become harder to maintain your objectivity as a journalist?
You know, it's a good question, Bob, but I really don't think it did, because what happened was, you know, in the moments when I was having these experiences, like I was having a reading or I was experiencing some kind of communication, at least what appeared to me to be communication from my brother who died, in those moments I was fully immersed in those experiences, just the way anybody would be. But I have this ability to step back afterwards, and all the readings were on tape, so I was able to take the readings afterwards and analyze them. Excuse me. And so I really, you know, I felt like I was very able to sort of apply the same analysis to my own experiences that I was able to apply in looking at just data, at other people's experiences. Mm. And it just felt to me like it enriched the whole thing, but I don't think it really affected my objectivity at all. I mean, the readers of the book will be the best ones to answer that, but when I was looking at cases of physical mediumship or cases of children that with past life memories, these, of course, were things I'd never experienced myself. So a lot of the book doesn't even involve my own experiences. But even regardless of that, I have to say I was very careful not to let it do that, and I don't think it did at all. It just enriched it all for me very much. Mm. And it gave me more depth to it. It made it more meaningful. I had more motivation in doing the book. And the challenge for me as a journalist really was how to integrate the two, how to integrate the sort of journalistic approach with the personal approach. And that was a challenge because in my previous work, I've never done that before. So that was an interesting challenge. I really enjoyed it.
I know that was troublesome for you as a journalist. I mean, it was like coming out of the closet, you know. Just with
it sort of was, and I really had to think carefully, do I do this or do I leave it out? And I thought, right, how can I possibly leave it out? That would be dishonest.
Yeah,
because
right,
it was an important component of the process. It all happened while I was writing the book. And, you know, when Laura did her first reading with me, she said, well, this is... it so happened, it was a complete, quotes, coincidence that the date of the reading that Laura gave me turned out to be on my birthday. And she didn't know that. And during the reading, one of the people who was communicating through her started to acknowledge that and, like, handed me a balloon and was acknowledging my birthday. And Laura was laughing, and she said, well, I know that Spirit designed it this way. It was uncanny how many things happened during those couple of years when I was writing the book. And so it yes. all beautifully fit together. It really did. And I just, looking back on it, I can't really imagine how I ever could have done the book without those experiences, to tell you the truth. It just wouldn't have been the same thing.
Yeah, and also, had you not started to write the book and look into all these things, you may not have recognized the experiences when they happened. It sort of opened you up to it.
Yeah, that's possible, too. Or I wouldn't have been as open to it because I had this context for it. You're absolutely right. So,
Laura, Wesley mentioned, I know, in past conversations, that one of the reasons she wrote the book is that she wanted to bring some of the little-known information, you know, into the mainstream. With mediumship, it's a little bit different because I think because of certain, you know, TV and a lot of books and other influences, a lot of the population is aware of mediums and mediumship, but do you think that most people have a good grasp of what mediumship is and what mediums can and can't do?
You know, that's a really excellent question. I think, you know, when we think about mediumship and psychic mediums, you know, the term that is used a lot, we think back to, you know, these pictures of women, you know, in these, you know, kind of like head wraps and crystal balls, and we think of kind of fraudulence and, you know, charlatans and people trying to exploit people for money. And I think, you know, the history of mediumship has a very kind of shady background. There were definitely some very, very, you know, skilled mediums dating back. If you go back and start researching, you know, in the 1800s and so forth, but there were also some that were fraudulent. Doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't have mediumship abilities. It just meant they were probably lazy and it was easier to cheat or something. I don't know. But I think that, you know, there is a certain stereotype that is out there in the media. And, you know, there's challenges, you know, to that stereotype for someone like me who, you know, feels an obligation to honor this work. Like I said, I didn't start out thinking I was going to become a psychic medium as a career, as my profession. In fact, I actually fought it. You know, I did it in secret. I hid it until I finally became whole by owning it and honoring it. And, you know, what Leslie was saying before about Spirit always has a plan. The fact that the reading I did for her was on her birthday and then Spirit wished her a happy birthday, that was Spirit's plan all along. The other side always has a plan. And I think that the other side has a plan, you know, for certain people who are meant to be mediums too. I think the challenge is always trying to educate the public about what it really is like and help the public understand how the information comes through. I mean, personally, for me, I have two modes. I have my normal mode that I try to shut down completely and be just, you know, normal. I'm a mom of three kids, too. You know, I have a lot going on, and I can't constantly be channeling the other side for a number of reasons. Number one, I would never get any work done or never be able to be present for my own family. And number two, I would also probably not be here anymore because for me it's physically exhausting and draining. And I think that there's a certain stereotype out there that mediums, psychic mediums, are always on and always reading. And, you know, I can't speak for someone else, but I can speak for me and say that's very untrue for myself. You know, I take this as almost like a very sacred, intimate thing, and I would never read somebody and try to connect with them unless they were open and willing to have that experience, because I think that you also need to be very considerate about where someone might be in his or her own grief, you know, and what they're open to. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of stereotypes out there. And I think that's why I'm so thrilled that, you know, there are scientific organizations that research this, and there are places like Forever Family Foundation. You are like a font of information, and you really, as an organization, have such a great grasp about how this works and the purpose. And I know that you put together such a wonderful, informative manual about how mediumship works, and if somebody's, you know, thinking of having a reading, what they should be aware of. And I wish more people could understand that and read the literature that you have, you know, composed and get more of guidance of how it works and what it's really like.
Yeah, well, we're all doing our part in educating the public, so I think our combined efforts will will bear fruit as we go forward. You know, there's something that I'd like to ask both of you about. I know that in the work that we do, it doesn't happen often, but it does happen where we'll get some opposition from people with deep religious convictions. You know, we'll have people, frankly, that will write to us and call us and tell us we're going to burn in hell because of the work that we're doing. Did either of you encounter any opposition, either on the publishing side or from the public, you know, in this vein, you know, exploring things that you shouldn't be exploring?
I don't think I have, Bob, at all. I mean, I may have gotten like one person on Facebook writing something about, you know, the devil or something. But basically, yeah. I would have to just say a simple no. I haven't had any problems with that at all.
Yeah, that's good.
And I would say my experience has been very different. I think, you know, I respect, you know, all people's belief systems, and I would never want to force somebody or try to get them to, you know, adhere to my belief system. I think our faith and our belief and our understanding of the world around us, our own soul and our connection to other people on the other side, it's a very individualized thing, and it's a journey and it's a process that is unique to each of us. I will say I have had issues where people's belief system, you know, conflicts with mine, and I've found that, you know, what that does is it causes uneasiness for them and fear sometimes, and sometimes that leads to a reaction of anger. You know, I know personally, just in my own family, my husband was raised, you know, Catholic, and when I first, you know, was doing this, and I talk about this in the book, he was very cautious, and you know, he was very concerned. You know, he said to me, "How do you know you're not speaking to the devil? Or how do you know that this is, you know, real? And like, how do you know you're not being tricked? And how do you know this isn't, you're not talking to the dark side?" And I said, "I know because every single reading is about love and healing. And I know because when I'm connected, I feel so filled with that pure love. And I feel so loving to the person I'm reading for. You know, I think I feel like this unconditional love for all of humanity when I read. It's so freeing and it's so beautiful." And you know, after a few readings, that what I would share with him was the messages of forgiveness and love, and he was so moved by it. You know, he's the one who actually encouraged me and said, "You need to embrace this. This is beautiful. This is filled with love. This is God energy." So I never get like angry when people, you know, maybe write me a message on Facebook and tell me that, you know, I should be stoned to death and that I'm going to go to hell. I just understand that that's their perspective at the moment. And sometimes I get a little sad because I know that the work I do, it's so based in God energy of love and connectedness and healing. So I feel misunderstood at times. But I will tell you that doesn't stop me because I don't answer to that negativity. I answer to my calling, and my calling, I feel, you know, is driven by that very light-filled source that, you know, is called God. I refer to this as the universe, that force of love that unites us all. So I definitely come across that, and I have not let it stop me is how I want to say it.
Right. Yeah, I know it can be unfortunate when people, you know, feel restricted from personal exploration because of their religious convictions. And sometimes Fran will tell me, because she fields most of the calls, you know, that the person on the other end of the line will be whispering. And sometimes she has a hard time hearing people when they're talking loudly. And here they are whispering, and then she finds out why they're whispering is because they're in, you know, a Bible Belt area where you don't talk about these things in public, but yet they really want to know. So they're asking all these questions, but they don't want to be overheard. So it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It really is unfortunate.
Yeah. Leslie, you mentioned, of course, that you, as part of the book, you had, that's how you met Laura. I mean, you had a reading. Was Laura the first reading that you had in connection with this work?
Yeah, she was the first reading I guess I've ever had of anything like the type of reading she does. I mean,
right.
It was so, you know, really in depth, and it was long, and it was just life-changing because it was so accurate. And these two people came through, and it wasn't just what they said, it was also the personalities that came through, Bob. I mean, and the two people had different, very different personalities, and it came through absolutely like that in the reading. just manifested their personality so beautifully. And then Laura also, there were some signs that came through the reading, which were going to be, you know, she said that, which my brother, I was supposed to be using, you know, to recognize that my brother was trying to communicate with me. And I thought at the time, this is ridiculous. That's not going to, you know, like you ask for a particular thing that becomes your sign for that person. And I thought, I just was really skeptical about it, but it happened. It worked for me.
Right.
And so, then, you know, yeah, it was the first one, and then I did a second one with a medium in Ireland by the name of Sandra O'Hara, which was, her energy is very different than Laura's. Her reading was spectacular also in its accuracy. It was, so I would highly recommend her to people, because I know Laura is completely unavailable, or I always recommend her to people, but I say, I don't think she's available. But the second reading was incredibly accurate, too, and I give, in my book, I describe the different things that were said and let people see what, you know, what these mediums actually said. The styles are different. It was so interesting to me. Sandra was much shorter and faster. She sort of like, it's like reading a bunch of bullet points, just suddenly bing, 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 bing. But again, the personalities came through of the same two people with Sandra. It wasn't just the information, it was also the energy behind the people and the way they were portrayed that was so moving to me and just so realistic and so
convincing. Well, two things that you mentioned were significant. I mean, one, it's certainly true, and Laura can attest to that mediums all bring through communication in varying ways. I mean, no two mediums are the same in that respect. But the other important point is that when you talk about personality, because I love to hear that, because it sort of refutes the argument that mediums are simply tapping into an information field, so they're extracting data. But how do you extract a personality from an information field? You know, it gives more substance to the argument that, yes, of course, they're communicating with a discarnate personality. I mean, would you agree with that, Laura?
You know, I absolutely would. You know, I'm a psychic medium, so as a psychic, you know, and I understood I was a psychic before I understood I was a medium, but a psychic reads energy, so we retrieve information from this kind of field of understanding and knowledge. For me, when I read psychically, it is such a completely different experience. It's receiving information, and my favorite part is that I get to meet all these amazing people on the other side. It's like I become friends with them. They become part of my team of light, too, and I just love engaging with them, and a lot of times, you know, I will say phrases that the sitter says, that's exactly, you know, what he or she used to say. And when I do readings in person or I do large group events, you know, I've been told, like, I take on the exact mannerisms of the person who has crossed. I love that. You know, I love that they speak through me, and I love having that immersive experience where I'm feeling that personality with me and being able to convey those messages. It's the most amazing experience of getting to meet so many new people all the time, and it's really so fulfilling and wonderful.
Would you mind taking a caller? We haven't gotten to that yet. So if you don't mind,
sure.
We'll take a call. Okay.
Sure.
We have Mark from Connecticut.
Okay. Hello, Mark.
Hi. How are you, Bob?
Okay.
Well, my wife and I had a recent loss, and we attended. We were in Chester, and we're going to be there on the 29th as well. In fact, I'm just finishing Leslie's book, and my wife is in the middle of Laura Lynn's book, and we're finding them both very helpful. But I had two questions. We in the Chester event, and it was very recent after our loss, so you know it was a difficult, very difficult for us to be there, but. Since then, we have had a couple readings with Sandy Ingham in Cornwall in the UK, and they've been very, very helpful for us. But one of the questions I had is, this is the loss of my son, our son, and in these readings with Sandy, he's with family members, many of whom we don't even know. I mean, we know by name, and he would have no way of knowing them. They're fairly distant. They're great grandparents and so forth. So that was a little surprising to us. We're kind of taken back by that there would be this kind of a family extended family that we weren't frankly aware of. So I just wondered what Laura Lynn's reaction to that would be, for example.
And I think that's an excellent question. I'll tell you, a lot of times when I read, I will have, let's say the sitter's grandparents coming through, giving me so much information about the sitter and telling me, you know, who the more recent crossings are and kind of being like almost a guide on the other side. And that sitter may have never even known those grandparents. What I can tell you is there seems to be a sense of like light connections, love connections on the other side. And there is always a greeting committee for whoever crosses. You know, it's very, very beautiful and very, very welcoming. And I also think that there is certain like energy links and energy patterns within families. You know, how we treat our children affect how they treat the next generation, and that link always ties backwards. So it doesn't surprise me at all. And I think before we come here, too, our souls recognize each other, and we usually choose to be born into the same kind of soul group family. So I think once we cross again, we recognize souls, you know, that maybe we didn't even know this lifetime that they were part of our family heritage, and so to speak, you know. And so I think, too, your son's personality, he's like a real, he gets to know people on the other side. He's kind of like always, people are drawn to him. So I don't think it surprises me to hear that he's like that. And I'm not supposed to be reading tonight, and I don't mean to do that and tap in, too, but I just feel that very strongly. And I have to say, too, is there a Peter on the other side for you?
I'm sorry?
Is there like the P name, yeah, Peter, on the other side who's crossed,
yes,
for you,
yes,
connected
that's
to
my
you?
Son.
Because
yes.
I have him yelling at me and telling me he planned this. And it's so funny because I told Fran Ababa I'm not going to be reading tonight. We're just interviewing. It's such a different mode for me. But he's laughing hysterically that he set this all up and that he had to have us meet ahead of time and to tell you this is all real and to tell you, yes, he's been messing with things, electrical too. And he's showing me too something with like windows, something with windows, opening windows, something like this. And he's pulling back now. He says he's going to have us meet later on. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this on air, but please know he's with you, and he's thanking you for being open to this, because I think it goes against, you're a very, very, very learned, smart man. He's making me feel like I'm very accomplished. And this is a very different paradigm for you to kind of think about and engage with, but you're going about it in such a beautiful way, like full force, trying to investigate and understand and you know, figure this out. But he says, Dad, this is real, and you're going to have to come to terms with that, because you're also going to help other people understand this, not only in the family, but beyond that. So he's thanking you for loving him so much that you're willing to engage in this and explore this.
Okay.
Well, that's awesome. Well, just one further question. So if he's with extended family, some of whom we don't know, I'm just curious because my father recently passed, and there's been no mention in any of these readings that we've had of him. We haven't asked about him, but he hasn't come up at all. I wondered, is that unusual? I mean, that would be one of the most immediate family members that my son would my son had life experiences with, you know?
Yeah, no, you know, that's a wonderful question. I think everybody reads differently, and I think that how I say it, it's always an energy triangle, so it's how the psychic medium's energy plugs into the sitter's, plugs into the other side. It might just be that your dad's being quiet for a little while. You know, it could just be something like that. But I am hearing the name, too, that Peter's acknowledging, like David. Do you know, is that name in the family?
No, that's...
Okay, so just think about this after, because it's a D name. I think it's a David, but I just want to mention that, too. It could be that your dad's just waiting to come through, somebody he's really comfortable coming through, but I promise you he's there, and I promise you he's there together.
Okay, well, I just want to thank Bob and Fran. They've been wonderful support for us, and we're really grateful, and to both of you, Leslie and Laura Lynn, your books have been really helpful for us.
Well, thank you, Mark, and we look forward to seeing you on the 29th.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, take care. Have a good evening. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Leslie Kane and Laura Lynn Jackson. Stay with us. Be right back.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world, but for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential, and research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
You're just tuning in. Our guest for the evening are Laura Lynn Jackson and Leslie Kane. Our sponsor is mipsychicapp.com, where net proceeds go to support the Rhine Research Center. Bob?
And I know that we said we were taking calls, and we do have a few more with not much time, so we can let's go right to the next caller.
You want to take Patty from Colorado?
Okay. Well, Patty?
Hello.
Hi. You're on Signs of Life.
Hi.
Did you have a question for either Leslie or Laura?
I do. Either one, actually. I recently lost my granddaughter, and I had a sense that something would happen, although I didn't realize it would be her. And shortly thereafter, I began going to mediums and doing a lot of research and, of course, reading a lot of your literature. And I actually felt that I could communicate with her. In fact, she was giving me signs and symbols that I was able to verify with my daughter or with friends of hers. And that was going on for a while, and my daughter was also getting communications from her. And then all of a sudden, it stopped, and we both felt it at the same time. It's been about almost 3 years. And we both felt that it became increasingly harder to connect with her. And I was kind of wondering what that's about, you know, if that's it's just time or if, you know, what is this part of the soul's journey or, you know, what's that about?
Yeah. With my experience, is the same thing happened. It seems like there's a period of time which takes place after the person dies. You might have a year or something, or 2 years, where there's a lot of communication. And then I think it's probably true in general that it tends to fade away over time. So maybe Laura could speak to what's going on there. But I just wanted to share that that happened with me as well.
You know, what I want to say is that she has never left your side. It's just that she's giving you room to grow and breathe and experience. Think of it, the way they've explained it to me, they being the other side, is think of it like a mother and child. And then the child, you know, grows and starts, you know, going to school. And so they have to go have some independence and be alone and grow in that direction on their own. But then, you know, always know that even though their, let's say, mom isn't right there at school with them, they can feel that connection and that cord of love going back and forth, and they feel safe and secure in that knowledge of unconditional love, and then they can go out and explore their world. The other side doesn't want us stuck in grief over them. And so there's sometimes a fine balance that they tread. They're always around us. They're always with us. They're always rooting us on. They are always sending us signs, but sometimes they look at it like, okay, I'm going to let this person now kind of strike out on his or her own and grow in that direction and heal from the grief. It can actually be a sign of great healing. It doesn't mean that connection is thin or frayed or farther away. On the contrary, it's almost stronger in the sense that you know that person is connected to you and with you. And maybe you don't need the signs as frequently to feel that and know that. That said, we all love getting signs, and that's what my next book's going to be about, is that we can all have and share that language. We just have to co-create it. So my advice to you would be come up with a totally different sign and say, I really want to just know that, you know, you're around even when I'm not getting constant signs. Just send me this one sign in the next few days and pick something really specific, like, you know, a purple hippopotamus or, you know, something that's just very uncommon, so that you'll get it and you'll know that this is all real and that that love, that cord, she's always present with you. It's just that she's giving you room to explore the world and do what your soul has been put here to without necessarily always being, you know, on that path of grief tied to her, so to speak. It's just done in love. It's not a disconnection at all.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I've had a couple of mediums tell me, because I keep going back, trying to make this connection, and tell me that she doesn't understand, you know, what the big deal is, you know, or that, you know, it is that I'm supposed to grow and through this. But, you know, my fear has always been that it's just me, and that, you know, sometimes I think none of it was real and time was, you know, it was just my imagination, and as time
right.
goes
well, that's
on,
what your that's what your
that.
Analytical mind does, right? We try to make sense of these unbelievably mm-hmm. transcendent experiences of connection that we know happen. Then our mind tries to rationalize it. Those experiences were real, and you
yeah.
can have more of them. Just ask for them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling,
okay.
Pat. And have
thank
a good
you.
Evening. Okay. Take. Yeah, we're just about out of time. I wanted to mention again that both Leslie Kane and Laura Lynn Jackson will be at our Afterlife Luncheon. I love these events because you get to learn about the evidence, not only about mediumship, but all the evidence that is out there and that Leslie investigated. And you also get spirit communication from one of the best, you know, mediums around, Laura Lynn Jackson. So if there's still, it's a large venue, there's still some seats available, they're going quickly, you can look it up on the website. Laura and Leslie, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks a lot. It was
thank
so much
so
fun.
Much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a good evening.
Okay,
we now
bye.
Ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. As we visualize the healing light upon Ed O'Brien, Sandy Raybould, Eddie Koons, Linda Ellis, Max Banken, Jerry Diana, Catherine Pye, Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Matt Mello, Donna Mello, Tina Young, Evelyn Ingram, Cynthia Post, Helen Montalto, Rich LeBly, Lauren Remneth, Vince Mattia, Isabel Ginsburg, Diane Archangel, Miriam Pierzga, Glenna Irwin, David Haith, Michael Tim, Fred Folger, Mark Eckenbarger, Peanut Enton, Peter Pye, Robin Murray, Anthony Joseph, or Casey, Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of blessing thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.